is too good, Dennis.
Oh, boy.
That song is beautiful.
Yeah. No, it is. Thank you to Keith Bergen for our lovely intro music. And welcome, everybody, to this inaugural episode. That means first. Does it? I don't know. We should look into that.
I think so.
Episode of the Pursuit of Perfectness podcast. I think that's the title we're going with.
Yes.
My co-host, I'd like to introduce, is the wonderful Ellen Matthews.
Hi, everybody. And the person that's been talking is my co-host, Dennis Pacheco.
That's a me. Italian hand gesture. Thank you for getting my name right. Oh, boy.
Well, yeah, so, that's intros. Nailed that.
Crushed it. Check that off the list.
Crushed it. Let's tell our listeners a little bit about what this podcast is. What's it all about? The pursuit of perfectness. What is
that's it. Is that what I said?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, cool. Want to get that right. I don't want to get it wrong right out of the gate.
But that would be pretty imperfect.
Yeah. Which is kind of what this is all about.
Which is actually a great segue. So Dennis and I are self-proclaimed perfectionists. And I know that that sounds like a humble brag. It's like maybe what you say on an interview when you have to give something bad about yourself. But we are much more self-deprecating than that. We don't think it's a good quality. We think
we're awesome at being self-deprecating.
That is true. And we actually find that it stifles us and makes things hard to do. Would you say that's fair, Dennis?
Yeah, I think we're going to, in this podcast, you know, that you're going to listen to, hopefully it's subscribed to, if I don't drive you away with my annoying Jeff Goldblum pauses.
I think we lost everyone at it's a me, a Dennis.
Yeah. Look, fits and starts. We're just getting our sea legs here, folks. So can you just bear with us, please? Thank you so kindly. So we're gonna look at perfectionism and the way that it kind of is a cloud over us, but also is a wind at our backs. It's something to strive toward and also to be constantly disappointed by. Because, you know, you want to be perfect. We all want to be great and perfect. But the thing about perfect is nobody is perfect.
That's true. And with me, and I've talked to you about this, Dennis, because it would be wild if this was the first time we've ever been talking about it. I tend to go hard on self-improvement, kind of like the self-help genre, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I have dabbled in, I have a nutrition coach. I have a sleep coach. Limited time. This is not something I do all the time. But I basically am finding every type of self-help category to make me like, it's almost like I'm a robot and I'm trying to just build up all the parts of myself to be this like super perfect human.
Right.
And I think I go a little overboard with it.
Yeah. I think I can't speak for you, but for myself, I have like a list of things that I have to constantly be doing in order to feel like I'm worth a damn. And it's just sometimes it's too much. You got to give yourself a break. But you know what we should do is we should talk about who we are and why should folks listen to us. So let me introduce myself. My name is Dennis Pacheco, as you've heard. And I am a improviser, actor, writer, director, teacher of improv, living in Brooklyn and working in New York City and acting out of a good old New York City. I'm currently in Boston. I'm in a hotel room in Boston because I booked a commercial.
Awesome.
So I'm in Boston record the commercial. It's very awesome. Very, doesn't happen often, a few times a year maybe, but when it does, baby, it's nice.
That is super. That's very exciting, and I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. And that's who I am. I've been doing improv out of the Magnet Theater for about 10 years, and hope to do it 10 more.
Love it.
And then quit.
Just kidding. Just a cool 10, and then drop the mic.
Just kidding. I am never going to drop that particular mic.
Exactly.
Until I drop dead.
Moving on, I, Ellen Matthews, and am also an improviser, student performer, teacher of improv at Magnet Theater. Dennis and I are on the same Megawatt team. Good and Evil. Shout out to
For those of you who don't know, Megawatt team is the Magnet's house improv teams.
Correct. Shout out to our other teammates who are absolutely listening to this. Thank you.
Oh my God. Hi, Michael.
And I would say that improv is also an area where you and I tend to overthink and try to kind of be perfect at, even though I don't think anybody could be perfect at improv. That's an oxymoron in itself.
Yeah. I think it's the messiness of improv that is really attractive in terms of like watching it.
Yes. Although
it's messy like life, and that's the closer it is to life, I think the more satisfying it is to watch sometimes.
Those are the kind of deep thoughts that you'll be getting with this mm-hmm. podcast. Like those gems of wisdom that Dennis just put out there. That's the kind of stuff that you can expect from this podcast. And just to be clear, it's not an improv podcast, even though we are both improvisers, correct?
That's right. This is not an improv podcast.
It's not.
We will not be making any jokes or trying to make each other laugh at all. If we ever do, we are going to shut off the podcast and drop our laptops into the ocean and walk away.
I didn't say we can't experience joy on this podcast. I just said it wasn't an improv podcast, but you know.
We're going to try to experience joy.
We're going to try to experience podcast. Joy. So it's not an improv. Let's just keep talking about what it's not, and then maybe we'll get to what it is. So it's not an improv podcast. It's also not, we're not therapists. I know we sound really smart and like, oh my God, do they have a degree in psychology? No, we do not pretend to know anything. We're just two people trying to figure it out. So please,
that's right,
take whatever advice we give with a grain of salt.
Well said.
Thank you. So not an improv podcast, not a therapy podcast.
What else is it not?
What else is it?
It's not. It's not a news podcast.
No, we're not.
You won't be getting any current events from us. It's not a political.
No.
Roundtable. We don't know. Well, I can't speak for all, but I don't know a ton about politics. Look, I like to keep informed, but that's not what this podcast is.
Not a politics, you know, hot zone. What is it called? What's the Chris Matthews like in the hot seat?
Yeah, sure.
It's not that.
It's not the hot seat. It's not a soapbox.
It's not a. It's not a Dear Abby. You call in for advice, and then we give you advice. It's not that. But you might.
No.
You might walk away with some ideas. It's an ideas podcast.
It's a place for us to work through some shit.
Yes.
And then you know maybe in listening to us work through this shit, you'll be like, oh. Yeah, I'm also working through that.
I love that.
Vicariously.
We hit it. We nailed it. That's what it is. Dennis and I are working out some shit. And you can listen to us working out our own personal issues. And maybe you'll take away something from this.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll call in and be like, maybe you'll have advice for us. Okay? Maybe this is a reverse Dear Abby, and we are actually asking you, the audience, for advice, and then you call in, you tell us your perspective.
Yeah, this is mostly about us helping us. And if you want to help us help ourselves, that'd be great. But this podcast is not for you, listener.
We're also going to have this is exciting. We're also going to have some guests on the podcast.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to have experts in perfectionism, self-proclaimed, because I don't think they hand out degrees in perfectionism or job titles called perfectionist, I don't think. So these are all going to be people who are experts in certain fields or on certain subjects, or people who are just experts at being way too hard on themselves, because that's kind of what perfectionism is, I think. It's about... It's in its worst form, it's about being too hard on yourself. So, yeah, so I guess let's talk about what perfectionism, how it manifests itself maybe in our lives.
Or like, yeah. When did you know that you were a perfectionist or that you were very hard on yourself?
That's a great question. And I don't know if there was a moment, but I remember when I was in like seventh grade. So I'm kind of a visual artist as well as a performing artist. I draw. I went to art school. I love comic books and I love comic book art. And it's probably my favorite kind of art, like illustrative art to take in as comic book art. And when I was a kid, you know, I was really into comics. I had friends who were all into comics. And I had one friend named Bruce who was a great artist. And he could crank it out. He could crank out those drawings. And he would just, you know, me and my friends, like there were maybe four of us. I just remembered this. Joe Grado, he was a really good artist. And I forgot that until this moment. He was a really good artist. He was one of the, like, in my head, I was always ranking us against each other. And that's as far as I'll go, because I don't remember who I thought was best or where I thought I ranked or whatever, but there were a few of us. There were like four or five of us. And Joe would crank them out. Bruce would just crank them out. You know, we create these characters. These very silly at the time. You know, this was like 1990, 91. So it was like, and we were like 12, 13. So you can imagine the kind of stuff we were drawing. It was like all superpowered cyborg cops and like mutant criminals. And they'd get in fights and mob bosses and stuff. It was all very dark.
That
and
sounds
punishery.
Cool.
Yeah. So, you know, we designed these characters. We'd give them fun names. And then we would just draw huge like fight scenes or whatever. But I could never get very far. I could never like finish even a drawing. Because at a certain point I'd be like, oh, this is coming out good. This is coming out good. At a certain point I'd be like, if I draw anymore, I will ruin it.
Oh my God.
So I could never finish a drawing. Yeah, I could never finish a drawing. And then later in life I went to art school and it turns out like I never really got rid of that. I never got rid of that, like not being able to commit and finish because I was afraid of ruining it.
Can I
still to this day have that with visual art. Sorry, you were gonna say, Ellen?
Can I ask you a kind of vulnerable question?
Yeah, of course. That's what this is.
Is that why you didn't want to do the art for our podcast?
Yes. Yes, that's why I didn't want to do the art for our podcast. Thank you for bringing that up. I didn't want to do the art for our podcast because I thought if I am tasked with making the podcast art, it will never get done. Because I will, because
you know
be
this
perfect.
About yourself.
Because I know this about myself, and that's why I was trying to reach out to other people. But I think I'm gonna have to just bite the bullet and do it.
I think you have to, because the irony that perfection is getting in the way of you doing art for a podcast about perfection getting in the way.
Oh yeah,
is that's just I mean, nom, 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 nom,
Italian
nom,
hand gestures.
that's too good.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss. I mean, that is what this is all about. This is why we're doing this. So yeah. I think Dennis, we did discuss if we were going to have homework on this podcast, and I think this is your homework. Oh, I think your homework is that you have to push through, because remember, you and I thought this was really, really well worded by you. Perfectionism can be a hindrance, but it can also be the wind in our sails, right?
True. Yes. And I don't know how this relates, and I might be somehow changing the subject, but I just wanted to mention when I think about times that I have finished art,
yes,
and just been like, fuck it, I gotta finish this.
Yes.
And that's been when I've been paid to do it, I can do it. When somebody says like, we need 15 drawings for this like financial website, full color inked, you have a week.
Well, the thing is, I think it's more about the deadlines, right?
No. Well, it's about the... deadline comes with pay. Like, if you don't hit your deadline, you don't get paid.
Got it.
Right? Yes, 'cause, yes. So, I don't know, actually. That's a good question. I don't know. Chicken or egg?
Yes. Well, I felt the same way. I'm not a visual artist, but I did a lot of, like, writing. Whether it was, like... essays for school or sketches for sketch comedy, and I'm the same way. I could edit. I just would never finish because I would continue to edit. Like, there's a piece of art is never done unless it has to be done, right? You can always add something more. You can always redo this line. You can always, like, you could literally do it forever. And when someone is telling you it's due by this date, just whatever you have to hand in, it's just like, take this away from me so that I stop fiddling with it, right?
Yeah.
So it's not it's not even like, oh, I feel done. It's just like, take it. right
Yeah. So even when you were writing comedy sketches, for some reason, like, I was never that precious with comedy sketches where I'd keep editing them. No, is that true? I think I'm that way too. I haven't written a sketch in a long time.
I actually haven't either. I mainly did sketch writing in college. But I felt like every time even now, if I reread old sketches, I was like, oh, we should have done this. Or like, this line would have been better if I worded it this way. You know, there's just like countless tweaks you could do. But, you know, done is better than perfect, they say.
Is that a thing they say?
I've heard that. Done is better than perfect, or progress.
The perfect is the enemy of the good.
Yes. And progress over perfection as well.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So
progress over perfection.
So I wonder, you know, I think we're going to be interviewing a lot of artists, because I think artists really struggle with this, right? To know when to stop, to know when it's done, to like, when is it good, right?
Yeah.
I think artists in particular have this specific challenge.
Yeah, and I think it's that what you were saying about deadlines.
But I'm sure everybody does.
Everybody has challenges finishing things?
Getting something to a place where you think it is ready to launch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're right. But we do know a lot of artists.
We do know a lot of artists.
So that's, you're going to hear a lot of that.
But we're going to also hear from all sorts of people. I want to talk to parents about how they feel about parenting, because I know people struggle with that, right? They want to be the best parents they can be. They want to be good for their kids. But, you know, parenting's really hard. And so how do you manage kind of like, practically living your life and not going crazy, but also feel like you're doing a good job?
Yeah. I mean, that must be so tough, because you know what I think about when I think I don't have kids, and I'm not planning on having kids at this point in my life. It's just not really in the picture. I'm a man in my 40s. But when I think about raising kids, I think about the shit that traumatizes you as a kid, or at least sticks with you.
Yes.
that to your parent maybe seemed like nothing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like you yeah.
You ever
you just you, you never
ever
know.
You ever bring up like a piece of trauma with like a parent or a sibling and they're like, "I don't even remember that." And it's like, of course, "Yeah, you yeah. don't remember that cuz it wasn't traumatizing to you."
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just like the stuff that sticks with you. It's like, and you don't want to, yeah, you never know. You're going to say something innocuously and it's just going to like be this devastating, like formative thing right. for another human being. Like you're responsible for the way this person is in the right. world.
Yeah. I mean, I worry about that too. I don't have children and I'm not planning on having children soon, maybe someday, but like again, I have this tendency of if I do it, I gotta do it perfectly. And I will get into internet black holes, like researching child psychology. Like I'm not even joking. Like I've watched I don't know if you can call watching Super Nanny research on child psychology, but I'm gonna call it that. but like I really like watching like Super Nanny, Nanny 911. Do you know the show? Like parents who like are struggling with their kids, it'll show them and their house is like a mess and the kids are like running everywhere. And then they have like a British nanny, of course a British nanny, come in and there's Super Nanny and there's Nanny 911. It's like two different shows. And okay. the British nanny comes in and basically teaches the parents how to more productively raise their kids and gives them like disciplinary actions and tactics that they can use. And it's really incredible because you do see the parenting turnaround and you do see improvement in the kids' behavior. And so to me, I'm like, well, I don't want to have maybe I'll have kids in a few years, but until then I need to have like a PhD. And I'm like, I swear I get a lot of TikToks on like gentle parenting and like, you know, effective strategies. And I feel like, of course, this is how I would be preparing for children. That's not even like happening soon, but I have to like, I gotta be perfect at it. I gotta do all this research and I gotta I gotta like anticipate every scenario. And you know, you have kids and all that's gonna go out the window and you're just gonna like try to get through the day. But yeah. I have this idea of like, I gotta prepare.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it hurts to prepare.
Sure. But.
So I think it's good. I think it's good that you're, you know, that you're preparing, knowing. Also, it's good that you know that like, you know, what's that saying? Like, God laughs while you make your plans or whatever.
Yeah. It's, I know what you're saying. It's like, it's also like life happens when you're busy making plans.
Yeah, that's what it is. Life happens while you're busy making, life is what happens while you're making other plans.
Yeah. But then something I like also that. Think, God laughs when you make plans. I think they're two different quotes.
Something about, look, God's laughing, life's happening, plans are being made. The point is, if you're aware that the plan is going to fly out the window, or, yeah, what was it?
You don't have to hold so tight. You can have your plan, but know that you're going to have to make some game time changes, right?
Yeah. I think there was a quote that like a Mike Tyson quote or something. It's like the other guy always has a plan until he gets punched in the face. Something like that. Look, listener, Google all these.
Listen, there's a lot of quotes about plans. Please just find one that works for you and use it. I also have a niece and a nephew who are the most adorable human beings I've ever met in my entire life. I might be a little biased, but I also feel like I am learning through them too. I get like a little bit of practice by just observing them. And
it's like light parenting.
Light parenting. something that I learned, and maybe I'm just getting off topic, but I always find this so fascinating, is that like kids are sponges, right? They just pick up everything and they're like way smarter than we give them credit for. And I started to realize kind of like how we teach kids to fear things. So for instance, my niece, this was a few years ago, she was probably like three, and her and her parents lived together with these two big dogs. They were like way bigger than her, but she was totally cool with them because that's like she grew up with them, she wasn't afraid of them, you know. Everything was fine. And I was carrying her into the house one day, and one of the dogs jumped up on me and was kind of like hurting me with their nails. And I went, ow, 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 ow. And I was like, you know, I was saying ow because I was in pain and I was like a little bit afraid. And then my niece starts going, ow, 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 and like getting afraid. And I'm like, oh my God, I am teaching her to be afraid of the dog and nothing is even happening to her. She's just picking up on my behavior. And I'm like, this is how we learn how to fear things. We just see the adults in our lives have a reaction to something, and then that becomes our reality. And I was like, holy moly, what a responsibility we have. We are like shaping these kids' reality, and we're shaping like their feelings about that reality. It was a big realization for me.
Yeah. So how'd that end up? Is she afraid of the dog now?
No, I think it happened once and I was like, I think if that was like a continued learned behavior, maybe she would have, but it was like a one-time thing and I'm not there all the time.
Do you think there's anything like that in your life that you learned, like being afraid of spiders or something?
I am afraid of spiders, but I don't know if I was taught to be afraid of spiders, because my mom... When I was a kid, I would go to her and be like, there's a spider. And she'd be like, spiders are good guys. They eat all the flies in the house. And then she'd go and she'd pick them up. So she wasn't afraid of them. So I don't know.
Huh. But media tells us to be afraid of spiders.
That's true. You think it's just like bad PR?
Yeah. I think it's movies and TV shows and stuff that's just like, ugh.
Do you think, though, they are objectively frightening looking?
No,
you don't think so?
I don't think so. No,
they are the weirdest things I've ever seen on this planet.
You know what I think is the weirdest? Well, there's a lot of weird things on the planet, but I think is like grosser and more terrifying than a spider is like a millipede, or I don't know if that's what those are, but they're like these flat things that have a billion legs and they move like at the speed of light.
At the speed of light?
Yeah. They're not like centipedes. They're like water bugs or something. They're just like...
Oh, I think I've seen a centipede. Maybe that's what I'm... Because I've had a centipede in my apartment and it was terrifying.
Because centipedes just look like worms with little feet, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of these like flat white things that have like a zillion legs. Ugh. And they move so fast. Those things are scary. And I'm not making these up.
No,
they exist.
I believe you. But if you're a kid and you grew up with them and everyone was cool with them, you probably wouldn't fear them.
I don't know.
Anywho.
I don't know. Where do we learn fear? This is the question of the episode.
Where do we learn fear?
Where do we learn fear? And how do we teach it?
How do we harness this power?
How do we make people afraid? And take over the city. You'll never stop us, Batman.
So anyways, so I'd like to interview some parents and how they deal with their is perfection even the right word for it? It's just kind of like, I want to do this the best way I can. Yeah, I guess.
I think that's perfection, yeah.
I think that's perfection.
You know, it's like these parents who want their kids to go to Ivy League schools and, you know, and they've got the money to back it up. Mm. And they, you know, certain parents are just, because for them it's about their identity, their whole identity is tied up in where their kid goes to college. And
let's not interview one of those parents, because I feel like that would be a very different conversation with maybe a lack of self-awareness.
Although I don't know, change my mind. You know, that could be the good thing. You know,
so
you ever see that meme of the guy with the table outside like a college campus that says like,
yes,
he's got like a coffee cup or something, and it says like, hot dogs or sandwiches, change my mind or whatever. Yes. I don't even know what the original one was.
Yes, I have seen that. Yeah, so we're gonna interview artists, we're gonna interview parents, we're gonna interview other people.
Yeah, we're gonna interview maybe people that we don't agree with. You know, we're gonna get you know, this is a hard, as I said, this is a political podcast. That's what this is.
No, we said it is not a political
podcast. Oh, it's not?
Podcast.
Oh, shoot. Okay, yeah.
But you know what? This is our first episode. And by our 20th episode, maybe this will be a completely different thing.
Yeah, maybe it'll be like Hardball.
Oh, that's what it was. Hardball. I called it Hot Seat or something.
I like Hot Seat better.
I like Hot Seat better as well.
And I just want to warn you, Ellen, you're probably going to have to be in charge of keeping us on track, the way you started talking about parents, and then I kind of derailed us, and then you brought us back. Great job, by the way.
I'm happy
to
do that. I think I was also responsible for the derailing, so I felt some sort of responsibility, because I'm like, Ellen, you really got on a tangent here. Let's bring it back.
Well, I just want to say my excuse is ADHD.
Love it. Dennis, I'm excited. I don't know about
me
you.
Too.
I don't know how you feel about this. Maybe you hate it and resent it because...
No, I love it.
No, I'm not going to ask. That's
you. Cherish it.
That's your private business.
Oh, okay. You don't even want me to say.
No, I mean, it's yours to keep. But I, for one, am very excited. We will be, next time we record, we will be recording with our first guest, who happens to be my brother.
What?
My brother. And we're going to talk to him about, should I tell them or should we just surprise them?
Yeah, say it.
All right, I'll say it. So my brother, his name is Greg Matthews, and he is a professor of statistics. He's also a parent of three gorgeous kids. But he's actually pretty chill about both those things. Like, he doesn't tend to get super stressed out about that. But what he does stress out about, and the energy that we were talking about earlier, Dennis, of like, I can't get this right, and I gotta edit it, and I gotta, I don't know if this is ready. That energy he gets about amateur stand-up comedy. He just started doing stand-up during the pandemic, so it was over Zoom, and it's just so funny to me that he's just very cool and calm about these, like, you know, pretty big things in his life, but stand-up comedy, that's what gets him, you know?
That's funny.
So we're going to talk to him about that. And
yeah, we got to find out why.
We got to find out why. What's going on with that? And I think that'll be a real fun conversation.
It's going to be a corker. It's gonna be a real corker, as they say.
Wow, I've never heard anyone say that.
Well,
ever.
I'm older than you.
But that's...
And I come from a John Steinbeck novel.
Oh.
Yeah, that's how I came to this earth.
Listen, listeners, this has been a blast. I'm looking forward to this next week. I don't know if Dennis is, because again, I don't ask him about that kind of stuff.
And I'm not gonna tell. But I will be back. I will be back.
We'll both be back. And Dennis, let's play our beautiful music again.
Oh, do we need outro music too? Or do we just
reuse
the intro?
Same one. We'll just use
the same one. We'll do a reprise. We'll play it backwards. See if there's any satanic messages.
I love that idea.
We probably won't do that.
All right.
Goodbye, listeners.
Goodbye, listeners.
See you next. Hear us next time.
Oh yeah, hear us next time.
Hear us next time.
And wait, and this is Ellen saying, be a little less hard on yourself.
Bye.